Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game on this Friday. Our buddy Ricky, I don't know who came up with this, but somebody did a Titans media depth chart that has like all members of the Titans media on it. And I'm listed as the punter, so I need to talk to Brett Kern on some punting tips. That's Love fantastic. It. Jim Wyatt is the quarterback. I think we will all agree Jimmy's our quarterback.
Yeah, I like
so
it.
We'll go with that. Let's bring in forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, who's online with us. Yeah, how do you feel about me as a punter?
Champ, no. Obviously, he's an offensive guard or center. I think you'll be pretty good at center. But as a punter, man. See, I don't know if you can lift your leg up that high.
No, I can't. That's 100% true. But it was funny back in the day, like, because I was obviously a big kid. The coaches were like, will you please come play football? And they told me, like, we'll put you at right tackle. I'm like, I don't want to be a right tackle. I want to be a wide receiver like Chris Sanders, but
could you play wide receiver right now? Could you run the route tree right now?
Chris, come on.
Okay,
you know the answer to that question. The answer is no. I'd be like, what's an out route? What's a hitch?
What's a seam? What?
The question is, could you play wide receiver right now? And I'd say the answer is yes.
As long as it's
two-hand touch, right?
Not even two-hand touch. It's funny because I walked up the stairs the other day and my knee swelled up. I'm like, what am I doing? I didn't even run a route. It just swelled up. My baby was like, why is your knee swell? I'm like, I don't know. That's how bad I am right now.
So the Titans introduced Tyler Lockett the other day, and I know Brian Callahan had a lot of good things to say about him. And I don't want to get too excited about a veteran wide receiver coming in here, because we've seen that a lot over the years with this team. But I do love the idea of him, because you got a young receiving core to go with Ridley. Mm-hmm. You've drafted a couple guys, and you have a rookie quarterback. I feel like this might turn out to be a pretty brilliant move by the Titans, no matter what the production is, but just to have him in the room.
Yeah, I mean, just experience. And I watched him over the years. I mean, and I love what he does. The one thing that he does well is he can run every route tree. He can play inside. He can play outside. He can do things to help a young quarterback. But here's the thing that's really going to help Cam Ward is with Tyler Lockett is going to really communicate on what he wants him to do. Like, just say if they run a seam or he runs a little curl, he knows exactly how to communicate to the quarterback on where to place the ball to make him feel comfortable, to understand, breakdown coverages and things like that. It's kind of like, just say if they were in a cover two and there was somebody on the slot, you saw the safety kind of go over and he blitzes off the slot. So now you got Tyler Lockett that can go and say, okay, listen, this is what you can look for. When the safety starts to shift over, this is what's going to happen. So now, as opposed to Cam Ward having one set of eyes, he has two sets of eyes, with Tyler Lockett being one of those eyes.
Talking to Chris Sanders. You ready,
my
baby?
Guy.
Here we go.
Let's go. Joy.
Oh, I like this.
Joy.
You know what it is? It's joy and pain,
and
baby.
Pain. Joy and pain.
Here it comes.
Rob Bass.
Yeah, Rob Bass.
Yeah. Here we go. Joy. No, it ain't going to come with the thing yet.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah. Pain.
Sunshine.
And rain. Come on, guys. That's beautiful.
I love it.
So good.
All right, so let me ask you this. Sure. Right now, Chase and I count, there's like 19 wide receivers on the Titans.
100.
So, there's a guy like Colton Dow, seventh round draft choice last year. I mean, he was great at UT Martin. Does a guy like Colton Dow have a chance?
It all depends on what he brings to the table. Everybody knows he can play a little bit of wide receiver, but you got to play special teams. But there's so many guys in this receiver room. You got Van Jefferson, you got, Oliver Bryce, all a whole bunch of guys. But what's going to separate, Colton Dowell from making the team is he's got to play special teams. He's got to do more things just than playing wide receiver. Because I remember in 1999, we had a lot of receivers. We had me. We had Kevin Dyson, Derek Mason, Isaac Byrd, Yancey Thigpen. We had a lot of guys that can play, and we actually kept seven on that roster because we had so many good guys. So what Colton Dowell has to do, he has to make the coaches, make it be a hard decision, because at the end of the day, if you don't show up on field and you don't make plays, or be on special teams, you're going to find yourself out of here. So he has to keep showing up on film.
All those receivers, and still Frank Wycheck led the team in receptions.
No, I know. I got like a ball every other game.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. When Jerry Rice came out of Mississippi Valley State in 1985, sure, he ran a 4.65 40, according to reports. And like, oh, if that happened today, be like, oh, my goodness. Xavier Restrepo, how do you say his name?
Restrepo.
Restrepo, thank you.
All right, ran a 4.85, but I looked at him, Chris, all of his tape. That dude knows how to get open.
Thank you. Please, no. Please say that again.
He knows
say
how to get open.
Yeah. He knows how to get open.
Right.
Let me break this down. But that's what it's all about, because if you have, and I'm going to say this in a respectful way, Calico, Tyrone Calico, guy can run a 4.3, 4.2, but he couldn't understand how to arouse. Let me break this down to the listeners of, it's not just about running a 4.3, it's about understanding how to get open. Look at Julian Edelman. He got drafted in the seventh round, 4.52. Then you got Danny Amendola, not drafted, ran a 4.58. And then you have Wes Welker, one of the best receivers to come out of the Patriots, ran a 4.65 undrafted. But here's the quality that those guys have and Restrepo have. Number one, they move the chains. Number two, they're Mr. Reliable. Number three, they're the best route runners. It's about creating a separation. It's about getting a guy off the spot. It's about lying with your eyes. It's about bursting off the cut, coming back to the ball. It's the little things, because if I'm just a fast guy, but I don't have a plan at the line of scrimmage, I don't have a plan in my second phase of the route, and then I don't have a plan at the top of the route, I'm just a fast guy. Those guys that I just named, and Xavier, whatever his name is, thank you so much. They have a plan. And that's why one of the best receivers that I've ever been around, number one was Webster Slaughter, and another one was Derek Mason. The reason why they were so good is Derek Mason at the line of scrimmage was a freaking dog. His acceleration point in his route and what he did at the top of the route created the separation. So it's not about speed. It's about having a game plan and running routes.
I love it. I just think watching him, the way he gets open, his acceleration, and they got him here. And, look, he's going to come in with a chip on his shoulder. He's pissed off. I think it's great.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. You got a quarterback you just drafted, Cam Ward. So now if he gets in trouble in practice and can't see some things, now you got a guy that he's familiar with, Restrepo. So that's just made your quarterback feel more comfortable and bringing in a guy that he's familiar with, that even if he gets in a little trouble, he can go to the security blanket with Xavier Restrepo.
I'm just glad that you guys have brought him up because – you know, and I know Jared's on his way to Atlanta because he's doing his show there today. But but like, just dismissing a guy because he's undrafted, which is exactly what Jared did, is like just the dumbest thing on the face of this earth. I mean, you got two guys in the fourth round. I mean, fourth round is a kind of a coin flip. But I think so is an undrafted guy that clearly had production in college. And just because you ran a 4.8 at the combine, let me see it on the field.
You said something profound, Chase. You said production. You know, you may get a lot of fast guys but don't produce. You may get a fast guy that catches 12 balls for 100-something yards, but then you got Restrepo that catches 70 balls for 800 yards. That means he gets open. And I'm glad you said it, because it just ticks me off, because I coach at Montgomery Bell Academy, and a lot of the receivers that I coach – a lot of receivers that I coach are like 5'4", 4'7", 4'8", but they create separation. So a lot of colleges don't look at them because they're not fast, but they're creating separation. They're getting open. They're getting in the right spot. They get a feel of what the quarterback's doing. And I just get so mad that you already qualify a guy that runs 4.3. Oh, he's great, but can't run routes. But then you got a guy that's consistent and just kind of diss him. I just think it's very unfair.
I would agree with you on that.
No, the whole thing is, and I go back and be like, well, somebody's like, well, Jerry Rice was Jerry Rice. Yeah, I know that. But in today's game, all we talk about, hey, a 4.6, 4.7, he's not getting – I just think sometimes as we – you know this well.
I mean, isn't sub-5 good?
come on. Five, he needs to come over and sit over here on the sidelines with me.
Right. I mean, you can see when there's a 4.4 versus a 4.8, you can tell. But I know this, but the same thing is, you know, a guy comes out today, it's like, wow, 4.6, he's not going to get the job done. But you know this, Chris, there is 40 speed and there's football speed.
Coach, say that again. Yeah. Coach, please say that again. What did you just say? Please say it again.
There's football speed and there's 40 speed.
Thank you so much. there. Come on, coach. I love you. That's beautiful. Because here's the thing is we have a lot of guys that run 4.3 and a 40, but play 4.8. You got Jerry Rice. You got Jerry Rice that ran 4.7, but he played 4.7. He get out of his cut at 4.7. And you got receivers that run in 4.3, but they get out of their cut at 5 flat. So that's the difference. It's about carrying your speed through the cut. It's about carrying your speed when you run a corner route. It's carrying your speed when you burst at the top of the route. Because there's a lot of guys that run straight line but can't get out of their cut full speed. And that's why I like Restrepo, because he can do those things at 4.8.
Well, I go back. I love Dan Marino. When he had Clayton and Duper on his team, and I remember an interview a long time ago, they're like, we run to where the ball's going, right? And so Dan knows where we are. We run to where the ball's going. Yep. I was like, you know, not where we were, not what's happening, but where the ball is going. And they understood the routes. A lot of receivers don't understand the routes now.
Dude, your new name is Coach. You said some good things. No, I mean, seriously, you said some good things. They understand the route. They got to understand it, whatever coverage I have, how do I run the route accordingly? Because if it's like this, my rookie season, I got a lot of press coverage. And I would just beat them off the line of scrimmage, touchdown. But then the second year, they're like, okay, we know who you are. So they put a safety over top. They started to bracket me. So now I had to understand how to run routes against that. So, you know, what helped me get to where I need to be was Les Steckel. He taught me how to burst off the cut. He taught me if I got brackets coverage to not run the route off the guy behind me on the top of the guy. If it's cover three, how to do the things to be cover three. So if I'm just a fast guy, I'm just a fast guy. I want to be a complete receiver and running the route tree.
Chris, I want to ask you this question because, you know, we joke when we talk about 1999, but our owner Bud Walters went to an event yesterday and Burt Nyhill, the president of the Titans, was there and was talking about, you know, the kind of the new stadium and the new team and the new look. And he made a comment and I'm hearing this secondhand, so I may be paraphrasing, but he basically said when the Titans first got here, we had our heroes. There were our heroes on this team.
Oh, wow.
And that's what, you know, they eventually want to try and get back to with this new team. And you think about that, Chris. I mean, whether it was you or Steve or Eddie, or, you know, Derek later on, Frank. I mean, those were household names that we all knew. And they really haven't had that for a while outside of a few exceptions. Derek Henry obviously being one of those. But, like, true heroes. How do they get back to that point with this team, or is it just too much of a different time?
It's got to start with your quarterback, and I think that when you have more Warren Moon passing the torch to Cam Ward, I think that's a start. You know, when you talk about heroes in 1999, it wasn't just the heroes that were up front; it was the heroes behind the scene, like a Brad Hopkins, like a Bruce Matthews, like a Benji Ocean. You know, Ocean. You had guys like that that wasn't always in the press, but was willing to do the dirty work. And then you had Lord have mercy. Then you have a receiving core that was unselfish. You had, we had Yancey Dickman, but then you had a Kevin Dyson. Then you have a Derek Mason, who I have so much respect for. That was the sixth receiver at the time. He wasn't, he was in the rotation, but he was the sixth receiver at the time to where, you know what, it ain't about just being the hero. It's been a hero at the moment. And he became a hero in 1999, the AFC Championship game, where he was just kind of just chilling a little bit. All of a sudden, he makes one of the biggest plays in franchise history, is making a punt return in the AFC Championship game. Hero. So when you get back to that aspect, you got to get guys that have the same vision, the same heart, that just what? That just love football and don't care about the accolade. That's what a hero is.
You mentioned that love football. I found it very interesting that a lot of teams after the draft were talking about that they took guys off their board because of lack of love of football. And in this NIL transfer portal era,
it's awful.
I think they have to do that more, and it's pretty crazy to see.
Yeah, you got to get guys that love football because listen, there's nothing wrong with having nice things, but if your focus is the nice things, then you're going to start working. I remember maybe about 10 years ago, I did a speaking engagement with Chris Hope. He said this, and this made the back of my hair stand up. He said, why would I work all my life to get to the NFL and stop working?
Yeah.
I mean, but that's what guys do. Oh, I made it. You know, I got the Lamborghini, which is great. I want a Lamborghini, but I want to be known as a guy who loves football. Just love football, and we got to get back to that situation.
They should have given you that Buick you jumped over in Riverfront Stadium.
No,
you scored a touchdown.
That was, That was a Yugo.
Real quick, Chris. Wes in Hermitage checks in. He said, I would put all the money in my savings to bet that Chris Sanders would have a better season in production in 2025 than Treylon Burks, and you can stamp that.
I'm with Wes.
First of all, I get hurt walking to the stadium because my knee swelled up just going up the stairs, so I wouldn't make it to practice.
I know we get the break. One more question. I mean,
sure.
Do you feel bad for Burks? I mean, you're a receiver. You've been in that room. You played in the NFL.
I've been in that situation, so I would love to sit and talk to him. I've been in that situation to where you felt like you're the underdog. They brought Dyson in, they brought Yancey Thigpen, and you felt alone. You felt like, you know, I can't do this. But here's what Treylon Burks can do. He's got two choices, to get better or get bitter. And I think that if you get better, you say, you know what, regardless of what happened in the past, I still can write my story. I can write my book. I can do some great things regardless of how my story started. Same thing with Derek Mason. Derek Mason's story didn't start off happy, but now he's about to be inducted into the Tennessee Hall of Fame. That's how you that's how you rewrite your story. You don't write your story of just sitting there, oh, woe is me. You write your story and say, you know what, even though I'm crying, even though I'm hurting, even though it's painful, I'm going to write my story. And guess what? My story is going to be beautiful at the end, even though it didn't start good at first.
Amen to that. Chris, always enjoy these conversations, my man. Have a good weekend.
Hey, love you, brother. Thank
you,
man.
Love you, too. Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program. I want to get into that and kind of get your thoughts on the heroes thing, because – when Bud told me about that yesterday, I was like, man, that's a really good discussion to have, because I don't think they have that right now. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but it's how can they get back to the way we felt? And maybe it was just because it was new, we had never had it before. But I think there's something to that. 615-737-1025. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, and we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.